We present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Garda Stevenson as Steve in A Case for Paul Temple, a serial in 8 episodes by Francis Durbridge. Episode 7, in which the net tightens. Paul Temple, the celebrated novelist and private detective, is invited by Sir Graham Forbes, the Chief Commissioner of Scotland Yard, to investigate the activities of a drug-smuggling organisation under the leadership of a notorious criminal known simply as Valentine. Whilst working on the case with Superintendent Weatherby and Major Peters, Temple makes the acquaintance of a Sir Gilbert Dryden and a Mr. Charles Kelvin. Dryden tells Temple that he suspects the leader of the organisation, Valentine, is a protégé of his, a girl called Sheila Baxter. Sheila Baxter is the proprietor of a beauty salon in the West End of London and is known professionally as Madame de Briac. One morning, at about 11:30, Temple and Steve...
What time is it?
It's just gone 11:30.
Good gracious.
It's all right. We didn't get to bed till 6:30.
Are you awake?
Yes. Come in, Mary.
I've brought you both a nice cup of tea. You deserve it now, coming in at that time of the morning.
What sort of a day is it?
Oh, it's a very nice day if you're partial to... Oh, before I forget, there's a young lady to see you. She's in the lounge. Miss Baxter?
Miss Baxter? Yes, all right, Mary. Pass me that dressing gown, darling.
I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, Miss Baxter. Oh, dear, didn't Mary offer you some coffee?
Mr. Temple, forgive me calling at this time of the morning, but...
That's all right, Miss Baxter.
But I think I've got some rather important news for you.
Oh? Oh, indeed.
Mr. Temple, I know the identity of Valentine.
Valentine? Are you sure?
Yes. Yes, I'm absolutely sure. My suspicions were justified, Mr. Temple.
You mean that...
I mean that Sir Gilbert is Valentine.
Sit down. Sit down, Miss Baxter. Now, what makes you so certain that Sir Gilbert is Valentine? When you saw my wife the other day, you said, if I remember correctly, that...
Something's happened, Mr. Temple. Something happened this morning which utterly and completely convinces me that Sir Gilbert is Valentine.
Go on.
About an hour ago, I received a telephone message. I was asked to go round and see Sir Gilbert at his house in Berkeley Square.
Yes?
When I arrived at the house, Sir Gilbert was in the study. He wanted to see me about a private matter. As a matter of fact, about some shares which I inherited from my father. We were talking about the shares when suddenly...
Yes?
When suddenly the telephone rang. As soon as Sir Gilbert answered the phone, I knew that something was the matter. He was on edge, nervous, jumpy, rather annoyed about something. Suddenly, without speaking a word, he put the telephone receiver down on the desk and walked through to the drawing room. There's an extension in the drawing room, so I knew that...
But he wanted to talk privately.
Yes.
Go on, Miss Baxter.
Well, to cut a long story short, I picked up the receiver and overheard the conversation.
Go on.
It was a man called Condré, Jules Condré. I'd never heard of him before, but I could tell immediately what they were talking about. Apparently, this man, Condré, had just arrived from the continent with a certain package. He told Sir Gilbert that he hadn't the slightest intention of handing over the package until he received the sum of £600.
Did this man, Condré, seem annoyed, irritated?
Extremely annoyed. He told Sir Gilbert that he knew exactly what had happened to a friend of his, a certain Captain... Captain...
O'Hara?
Yes.
Go on.
From what I could gather, this man Condré had only just arrived in the country. He spoke as if he'd flown over from France in the early hours of this morning. He mentioned a place called... Now, what was it? Braysham.
Go on. Go on, Miss Baxter.
Well, although he never actually referred to Sir Gilbert as Valentine, it was quite obvious from the conversation that he looked upon him as the leader of some sort of an organisation... He told Sir Gilbert that he would deliver the package tonight if...
If what?
If Sir Gilbert would agree to hand over the £600.
What did Dryden say?
He told Condrey to meet him at 8 o'clock.
Where? At Berkeley Square?
No. Condrey wanted to come to the house, but Sir Gilbert wouldn't hear of it. He told him to meet him on platform number 3.
Platform number 3? Which platform number 3?
Now, just a minute. Let me get this straight. Condrey said, if you don't want to see me at the house, where the hell do you want to see me? And Sir Gilbert said, meet me on the underground, platform 3, Piccadilly Tube Station. Tonight at...
At 8 o'clock?
Yes.
Thank you, Miss Baxter.
Oh, Mr. Temple, I do hope I'm wrong about Sir Gilbert. I know he's changed a great deal in the last 2 or 3 years, but...
Miss Baxter, tell me, was this a trunk call, the one Sir Gilbert received from Condrey?
Yes, I think it was. At any rate, I heard the pips. Mr. Temple, do you think I ought to have gone to Scotland Yard about this matter?
No, you did the right thing, Miss Baxter, in coming to see me. Now, don't you worry about anything.
Hello, Miss Baxter.
Hello, Mrs. Temple.
We're just having some tea. Wouldn't you like a cup?
Well...
Of course you would. It's all right, darling. I'll take that in the study. Hello?
Mr. Temple?
Yes?
Hold the line, sir. Sir Graham wants you. You're through, sir.
Hello, Temple.
Hello, Sir Graham.
Temple, listen. We're having a conference this afternoon, 3 o'clock. I'd rather like you to be there if you can manage it.
Yes, that's all right, Sir Graham.
Good.
Any new developments?
Well, I've been in touch with the French people this morning. They seem to think the pilot was a man called Condrey, Jules Condrey.
Yes.
Ah. I take it you've heard of Condrey.
Yes, I've heard of him, Sir Graham. I'll talk to you this afternoon.
Yes, all right. Oh, I suppose you've seen the newspapers.
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
They splashed the Kelvin story right across the front page.
Oh, have they? What do they say?
The usual nonsense. The Daily Post seems to think we've caught the bird we're looking for.
Valentine?
Yes. I wish I could think so.
I take it you don't think Mr. Kelvin is Valentine?
Well, if he is, we can't prove it.
Have you spoken to him?
Yes. We had him up to the office this morning. He's changed, Temple.
What do you mean?
Oh, he's tougher. A little more full of himself.
Why, I wonder?
I don't know. He didn't seem very sure of himself at 2:30 this morning, did he?
Certainly did not.
Anyway, you can see him for yourself if you'd like to.
That's quite an idea.
All right. 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, Sir Graham, at Scotland Yard.
If I've told you once, I've told you 100 times, I don't know anything at all about a man called Condrey.
Condrey, Mr. Kelvin. Condrey.
I went down to Bresham to see someone called Leyland. When I discovered that...
Yes?
When I discovered that Mr. Leyland was not to be found there, I decided to return to London.
Is that why Superintendent Weatherby found you running away from the house?
I told you! Sir Gilbert Dryden told me that Mr. Leyland was at the house. That's the only reason why I went there.
Oh, yes, of course.
Don't you believe me?
Do you expect me to believe you, Mr. Kelvin?
Oh, it's a matter of complete indifference to me whether you believe me or not.
Indeed. Very good, Mr. Kelvin. All right, Sergeant.
Take Mr. Kelvin down to Superintendent Bradley's office.
Very good, sir. This way, please, sir.
Well, you didn't get much change out of that young man, Mr. Temple.
No.
You know, in spite of Sheila Baxter's story about Sir Gilbert Dryden, I've still got a hunch about Kelvin.
What do you mean?
Well, I shouldn't be at all surprised if he doesn't turn out to be Valentine after all.
What makes you say that, Peters?
Well, we know he's mixed up in this business. That's obvious, and yet...
And yet, when you get down to brass tacks, we've got absolutely nothing on the boy.
Exactly.
I wouldn't go so far as to say that, Peters. Don't forget the Charlie King affair. He hasn't really given us a satisfactory explanation about the watch chain.
No, and I don't think he will either, Sir Graham.
Why?
Because in my opinion, he murdered Charlie King.
Oh?
Does that mean...
Well, that's a change anyway, Temple. We don't often find ourselves in agreement with each other.
Peters, tell me, what exactly is your opinion about this Valentine affair?
Well, to be quite frank, my opinion has changed rather a great deal, especially during the past 2 or 3 days. When I first started to investigate this business, I was under the impression that the whole affair was run, organized, and completely controlled by one person, Valentine. Now, however, I'm not so sure.
Whichever way you look at it, it simply boils down to the fact that we're up against a definite criminal organization, an organization on quite an unprecedented scale.
That sounds exactly like a line out of one of my novels, Superintendent.
Well, what's your opinion, Temple?
Well, Peters, I'll tell you. It's my belief that there exists in or near London a central depot, a sort of clearinghouse, if you like. Whenever any drugs, narcotics, are smuggled into the country, they eventually find their way to this central depot. At this depot, contact is made, and the drugs are eventually distributed all over the country. Now, you know, Sir Graham, we all know from past experience, that it's a great mistake to assume that the drug habit exists only in a certain section of the community. A drug addict isn't necessarily a wealthy person, and because
of it... But he must be wealthy, Temple. Otherwise he'd never be able to buy this stuff.
But that's the point. He doesn't always buy it.
What do you mean?
Sometimes it's given to him for services rendered.
Oh, now I see what you're getting at.
You mean that the whole of the organization is controlled by about three or four people? The petty, unimportant, but risky little jobs are undertaken by outsiders. Drug addicts. People who would risk anything in order to satisfy their cravings.
Precisely.
You mean people like the man who impersonated the doctor? Like the girl who impersonated the nurse?
Exactly,
like...
Peter.
Well, in that case, how does Valentine fit into the picture?
Quite easily, Peters. Valentine is the man behind the scenes, the big noise, the mysterious hand...
Oh, no. No, I don't think so, Sir Graham.
What do you mean?
I think that's the extraordinary part about this affair. I don't think Valentine is the mysterious man behind the scenes. Certainly not so far as the other people are concerned.
You mean that the identity of Valentine is actually known to the other members of the organization?
Yes. Yes, I'm pretty sure it is, Weatherby.
Temple, what do you think happened down at Bresham?
Well, your guess is as good as mine, Sir Graham. But if you want my opinion, Dryden contacted Leyland and offered him £350 to go down to Bresham and collect a parcel from the pilot of a plane, a man called Jules Condrey. When I picked up Leyland at the San Chow restaurant, Dryden realized that something was the matter, wirelessed Condrey, and told him to turn up at Bresham an hour or so earlier than was originally planned. Condrey did this and waited for Leyland.
Go on.
Now, this is the interesting point. In my opinion, Dryden intended that Condrey should beat up Leyland and then depart to the house, St. Nicholas. At the house, it was intended that he should hand over the package to Charles Kelvin.
Yes.
But when Leyland spoke to Condrey, he impersonated O'Hara. Now, it's my opinion that Dryden hadn't said anything about this to Condrey. This made Condrey think. He came to the conclusion, quite correctly, that his friend O'Hara had been done away with, and that if he turned up at the house...
My God, that fire! It must have been prepared for Condrey.
Exactly. Condrey changed his plan, probably stayed the night on the sand dunes, and this morning...
Telephone Sir Gilbert.
Yes.
It fits together, all right, Temple. It fits together like a jigsaw, but...
It points to Dryden.
Yes. Well, if Dryden does turn up tonight, if Dryden meets Condrey, then by God, he's Valentine, and you'll never convince me otherwise, Sir Graham.
I shan't try, Weatherby. Don't worry about that.
I say, this business is going to mess your night up, isn't it, Weatherby?
Oh, can't be helped.
Had you other plans for this evening?
Here's my daughter, sir. She's making her debut tonight, as you might say. She's in the new play at the Queen's. First time she's been in the West End.
Oh. Oh, well, I hope she'll have a big success, Weatherby.
No, thank you.
If it's a dramatic part, I feel sure she'll ring the bell.
yes, sir.
What is it, Sergeant?
I've been through to O Division, sir. All arrangements are complete for this evening.
Good.
You've notified Harper and the flying squad people?
Yes, sir.
All right, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir.
Well, this is it.
Yes.
I'll pick you up at 7 o'clock, Temple. What time do you make it, Temple?
It's nearly 10 to 8.
I think I'd contact Rogers again, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
I don't know why, but I feel as nervous as a kitten. Hope there aren't going to be any slip-ups, Temple.
I don't see why there should be. You've got a man watching each entrance to the tube, I take it?
Yes, yes. I'm not worried about that side of it. Once he gets inside the cordon, he'll never get out again.
Where's Weatherby?
He's at the top, near the first escalator. As a matter of fact, he's collecting the tickets.
And Peters?
Peters is on the lookout for Condrey. He's actually on the platform.
Good.
Calling KCD 842. Calling KCD 842.
KCD 842 reporting. Contact, over to you.
A man answering to the description of Sir Gilbert Dryden left the house in Berkeley Square just over 6.5 minutes ago. I will repeat that. A man answering to the description of Sir Gilbert Dryden left the house in Berkeley Square just over 6.5 minutes ago.
What's he dressed in, Rogers?
He's dressed in a blue suit, dark overcoat, black Homburg hat, and he's carrying a light brown valise. I will repeat that. He's dressed in a blue
suit. That's Dryden, all right.
Yes. Overcoat,
black he's Homburg on his way. Hat, and he's carrying a okay, Sergeant. Brown
valise. Okay, Rogers. Report back to headquarters. Tickets, please. Thank you. Tickets, please.
Do I change for Euston?
No, straight through.
Thank you.
Tickets, please.
Where's Peters? On the platform?
Yes.
Dryden should be here at any minute now. He left the house almost 10 minutes ago.
Good. You've told Peters to do nothing until he actually contacts Conway.
Yes.
Tickets, please. Tickets, please.
You make a very good ticket collector, Weatherby.
Glad you think so, Mr. Temple.
Isn't that Dryden?
Where?
Over on the other side, near that machine.
Yes. Yes, that's him.
Okay, get down to the platform, Temple. Warn Peters.
Watch those stairs. If he makes a dash for it, he might try and get back this way.
It'll be just the same if he does. There's a man on every exit.
Oh, hello, Temple.
Hello, Peters. He's on his way down.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen Condrey?
Well, I've seen the man I think is Condrey. He's at the other end of the platform.
Is there anyone down there?
Yes, Crane and Bradley.
It's a great pity there are so many people on the platform.
Yeah, here's the fellow I mean, strolling up the platform. The chap with the attaché case.
Yes. Yes, I think you're right. That looks like Condrey.
He's perhaps a little younger than I imagined he would.
Here's Dryden.
Okay.
Now watch him.
Pardon me, Monsieur Condrey.
Where?
My name is Dryden.
Ah, yes. Yes, I've been expecting you. Sir Gilbert, good evening.
Have you got the pack?
It is here, in the case.
Why didn't you go to the house at Braysham?
Don't you know why I didn't go to the house, my friend?
Now listen, Condrey. The next time you receive instructions from
instructions?
Your
I don't receive instructions from anyone, my friend. Not even from you. So if you don't mind, who is that man behind you?
Where?
Sir Gilbert Dryden.
Yes?
My name is Peters. Major Peters of the CID. This is Superintendent Bradley and Inspector Crane. We have a warrant for the arrest.
Don't move! Stand back! Don't move, any of you!
Watch Dryden, Peters! Don't let him get away!
Stand back! If anyone moves, by God, I'll let him have it!
Watch him, Mr. Temple. He's desperate.
Condrey, listen! Don't be a fool!
Don't come near me! Do you hear that? Don't come near me! Brunel Alpera!
You fool! You stupid damn fool!
Take your hands off me! Take your hands off me! Take your hands off me, you swine!
Look out, sir! He's falling off the platform! Look out! Look out!
Don't panic! Don't panic!
Keep still! For God's sake, keep still!
Where's Dryden? Where the hell's Dryden?
I thought he was with you!
He was! I was standing next to him. I was holding his arm when suddenly...
There he is! He's trying to get through onto the other platform!
Bradley, quick! Quick, Bradley!
Stop him, Bradley, for God's sake! Don't let him get on the train!
Out of the way! Out of the blast! Be quick! Be quick, Bradley!
Stay clear of the gates! Stay clear, everybody! Stay clear!
There he is!
There he is, Bradley!
Be quick! Oh, my God, he's made it! He's made it, Peters! He's on the train!
Hello? Hello? Ah, listen. This is Forbes speaking. I've just received your message. I don't give two hoots in hell what the security people say. I want a special announcement, and I want it now.
We interrupt our programmes this evening to bring you a special announcement from Sir Graham Forbes, Chief Commissioner of Police, New Scotland Yard. Listeners in the London area are requested to be on the lookout for Sir Gilbert Dryden, believed to be the notorious Valentine, leader of the mysterious criminal order.
Hello, Mary.
Oh, good evening, sir.
Is Mrs. Temple in?
Yes, sir. She got back from Evesham about an hour ago.
Oh, good.
You'll find her in the lounge, sir, with Miss Baxter.
Oh. Thank you, Mary.
Oh, hello, Paul.
Hello, darling. Hello, Miss Baxter.
What happened? What happened tonight at...
He escaped. Oh, it was one hell of a mix-up.
There's been an announcement about Dryden on the radio. They interrupted the news.
Yes, I know.
What's going to happen?
They're watching every tube station in the town. And I've still got a hunch he'll get away with it.
You look done in.
Well, it hasn't exactly been a picnic.
What does Sir Graham think about it?
Sir Graham? Oh, don't mention Sir Graham. Poor old Peters. He's certainly in hot water.
But what happened exactly?
Well, Cornray made a dash for it, pulled a gun, and then we had just one beautiful panic. During the excitement, Dryden slipped onto the next platform and jumped onto a train.
But couldn't you have stopped the train, Mr. Temple?
Well, I could have thrown an atomic bomb at it, I suppose, but...
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Well, I suppose I'd better be going.
No, no, don't go. Not yet, Miss Baxter.
Here we are, darling. Here's a drink.
Thanks. Ah, that's better. I'm glad you're here, Miss Baxter. I wanted to have a word with you.
I really don't know why I came here, Mr. Temple. I was so jumpy and nervous and terribly on edge, I just couldn't sit still. I knew, of course, after what I told you this morning, that you'd try and arrest Sir Gilbert, but...
You took it for granted that we should succeed. I wish we had, Miss Baxter. If only for your sake.
What do you mean? What do you mean, darling?
I don't want to frighten you, Miss Baxter, but it's my belief that until Sir Gilbert Dryden is arrested, you're in rather an unfortunate position.
Why? Why do you say that?
He realises by now that someone discovered his arrangements to meet Cornray, and went straight to Scotland Yard. He'll remember that telephone call this morning, and he'll remember...
Leaving me alone in the study.
Yes.
Paul, do you think he's dangerous? Do you think he'll make an attempt to... Well, you know what Mrs. Temple was going to say.
I think you've got to watch yourself, Miss Baxter.
I shall sleep with my door locked and a very large hammer underneath my pillow.
Where do you live, Miss Baxter?
I have a flat, well, I suppose you'd call it a maisonette, in Kenilworth Mansions, just off Park Lane.
Oh, yes.
Well, come along, we'll take you home and give it the once-over.
Oh, really, there's no need to put...
Excuse me. Hello?
Hello, Temple?
Oh, hello, Sir Graham.
I'm sorry to disturb you, but... I thought you'd like to know that I've attended to that little matter.
Oh, have you?
It's quite settled, quite definitely.
Good. Tonight?
Yes, tonight.
Oh. Well, thanks for ringing, Sir Graham.
That's all right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That sounds very mysterious, darling.
Well, I suppose I oughtn't to tell you this, really, but they've released Charles Kelvin.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yes, so am I. I never really thought that he was mixed up in this business.
He's mixed up in it, all right. But unfortunately, we can't prove anything. Still, he isn't Valentine, we do know that. Or do we? Oh, well. Come along, Miss Baxter.
Here we are.
Oh, isn't it charming? Isn't it a lovely flat, Paul?
precisely what I expected.
Now I wonder how I'm supposed to take that.
Oh, I see. This is the dining room over here.
It's quite small. There's just the two rooms. Lounge and dining room and two bedrooms upstairs.
Miss Baxter, has Sir Gilbert ever been here?
No. No, I don't think he has. He must know that I live here, though, because he telephoned... What is it? Why? Why, there's someone upstairs.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
Have you a maid? Or...
Yes, I have a maid, but she's away ill. She's been away for 2 weeks.
Where's the staircase?
It's through that door over... Mr. Temple, do you think it's Sir Gilbert?
Because whoever it is, they're coming downstairs.
Yes. Now, don't move, Miss Baxter. Stay where you are.
But Paul...
Stand still, darling.
Why, hello, Mr. Temple. I didn't expect to find you here.
No, Superintendent Weatherby. You never do, do you?
You have been listening to the 7th episode of A Case for Paul Temple, a serial in 8 episodes by Francis Durbridge, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Richard Greenwood, Melody Grove, John Paul Hurley, Eliza Langland, Michael McKenzie, Greg Powery, Simon Tate, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Rayner.